It was my first day after 15 years. I was disappointed, so I like to be.
It's nice. How was it?
Very nice. Nice.
You made a few nice days.
Yes, very good. Yeah. I like to be more dedicated, as you were.
Dedication?
Thank you. Welcome to the course. Happy to see you again after a long time.
Hare Krishna.
Hello, please.
My name is Krishna BD.
Please speak loud to the group. So
my name is Krishna BD.
Yes.
I'm not a Buddhist devotee, but I want to be connected with books because they are very dear to Prabhupada.
Yes.
So we want to more and more to introduce book distribution on Harinam. Okay.
Right.
I see it's very, very powerful.
Okay, so different strategies like books on Harinam. Thank you for that. Prabhu.
I'm Michael from South Africa. Been a devotee of 5 months and I hope to help for the conditions also from suffering, hopefully liberated.
Good, from Cape Town?
Like Durban.
Durban area. Alright, welcome. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Where are you from, Prabhu? I didn't get your
name. I'm from Poland.
Poland, okay. And you?
I was originally from Croatia.
Croatia, yes. You got the whole world here. Welcome to London. Yes, Prabhu, please.
Hare Krishna. My name is Patka Pasha.
Yes.
I'm from Belarus.
Minsk?
I used to be there.
But
I'm from a small place. My expectation is to learn different techniques.
Okay, say something new, what's not yet there.
I would like to hear about glorious as a service,
Okay.
And maybe some of your experiences in Buddhist.
All right, realizations, experiences. Thank you for that. Welcome to the course. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna, my name is from Bangladesh.
Yes.
Normally I don't go to temple, even though I was born in Hindu. But I can't be here. This is my second visit to this temple.
Welcome. Thanks for coming. Hare Krishna.
Since my boyhood, basically, I know about Srila Prabhupada, and he was born as Bengali, and I speak the same language as him. So I understand. I also read Srimad Bhagavad Gita and also Ramayana Mahabharata.
Very good.
It was taught in our school.
Yeah.
So to know about this, and also I studied engineering, and I'm also a computer. I did my master's from London, so maybe sometimes, in young age, sometimes you become like non-believer.
Yeah.
So maybe when time goes, you become devoted to God.
Yes.
So, yeah. So I realize, yes, Krishna is there.
Good. Thank you for attending. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm Narottaman Das, originally from India. I'm here to be convinced, as Lord Narottaman Prabhu said, convinced about book distribution and also to make a career, like a lifelong career in book distribution. And you have greatly preached to me in Barsana last year. They were sitting, I was telling you how difficult it is for me to distribute books here in London. And you gave me some advice.
Did it work?
Yes, at least.
Talk is cheap, You have to see what the practice brings.
I haven't been in a similar situation way I experienced, but generally it has been good. Especially when I go on a Sankirtan, doing Harina, that's the only time I can distribute. Otherwise, I'm standing on the road, nothing else.
All right.
Very difficult. It's just not.
So you need the holy name of the Lord in order to make it happen.
Yes.
That's good. Joint venture. Thanks. Welcome. Hare Krishna. Thanks for attending.
Hare Krishna. My name is Uddhava Damodar Das. I'm from Mayapur.
Arivo.
Arivo.
I love distribution books because now by distributing books we can get the mercy from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why I love it. There's no other way. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is sending the devotees to different parts in Bengal. Especially when we talk about
lost man.
Yes, I know.
My name is Ramcharan Das.
Hare Krishna.
I handle the finances for this temple.
Choice.
I have distributed books only on four occasions in the last 10 years. So I just want to, you know, associate with success, with someone who is successful in book distribution like you, so that I also could be inspired to grow up in books more.
Yeah. Welcome. Thank you for attending. Hare Krishna. Cultivate personal desire. Become inspired. Yes.
My name is Bethany Louise, and I'm from Dublin. And I haven't distributed many books. I'm just going out occasionally. But people I meet, they never seem to want to donate any money. I only get people who want free. And
okay.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my approach. I don't know.
All right. So you put that down. Tactics. Maybe you put a different topic.
Valuing books.
Closing the deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Welcome. Hare Krishna. Are you more comfortable on the floor than on the chair?
You need to be next to the dynamic. These are Krishna Das and Kamibai. I am not a book distributor. Maybe it's like that. And when I came here to find some inspiration. So.
What's your expectation for the course?
To see technically how what the book distributor works.
Okay. Welcome. Thank you for attending. Hare Krishna. Yes.
My name is Rudyan. I haven't done any book distribution until now, so I'd like to learn everything about it.
Well, welcome. It's the right place. Thanks for coming. Hare Krishna.
My name is Ayajayban. I'm not really a book distributor. I just came for some inspiration. It's a catchy title. Ambassadors of goodwill. That's what we should all be.
All right. Thanks for your honesty. I think you already spoke.
I guess my name is Bhaktan again. Just trying to be inspired to distribute some books. So, yeah.
Okay. And last but not least,
my name is Sachin. And my service is to encourage congregational book distribution. But I feel for myself, I'm not a very strong book distributor, although I appreciate the service a lot. So I want to strengthen my own book distribution. And I think become like more fearless in book distribution as well.
Okay, fearlessness, increasing strength. Welcome. Hare Krishna. So, can we start with... Are we ready? We have sound and everything?
It's not very loud.
So we have to simply take instruction from Guru, and if we execute that to our heart and soul, that is success. That is practical. I have no personal qualification, but I simply try to satisfy my Guru. That's all. My Guru Maharaj asked me that if you get some money, you print books. So, there was a private meeting talking some about my important godbrothers also there. It was in Dada. So, Guru Maharaj was speaking to me that since we have got this Bhagavaja marble temple,
So Srila Prabhupada has stated very clearly, please distribute these books. The perfection of the aspiring disciple, as stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary to the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasyatmika Buddhira Kaya Kuru Nandana, is to imbibe the mood of the Guru. Means the desire. What is the desire of the Guru? So, if you want to know what somebody likes, you just have to ask them, and they will tell you. So, we do not have to speculate, oh, Srila Prabhupada wanted this, he wanted that, he wanted the other thing. He has said very clearly what he likes. So, we just have to listen to his words and figure out how to put it into practice. In any endeavor we're embarking upon, the first thing, the first question we're asking ourselves is, what am I supposed to be doing, right? What's the project? What's the venture? What's the project? What's the mission? What are we going to do? And then, what's the second question?
How we do it? To put it to practice?
No. What's the second one?
Why
not how? Why is why more important than how? Can somebody tell us?
Motivation,
yes. What else?
The basis.
Please raise your hands, otherwise it gets too chaotic. Yes, in the back, and then...
To satisfy the Lord.
To satisfy the Lord, yes, that's a reason. But my question is why more important than how?
I think it's because first you have to know why you're doing something before you know how to do it. The reason is because if you know why you're doing it, then you have this, you have a set mood, and then when you do it...
But why is why more important than how? You can just go to how.
You know the goal. Then.
All the way to back.
Desire is what pushes us.
Yes, but still the question stands... Why is why more important than how? We know Prabhupada wants the books distributed. So we can just say, okay guys, that's it. Let's do it.
Otherwise it's blind faith. You've got to know what you're doing.
You've got to know what you're doing, because otherwise you'll be out there doing it, and at one point people are going to ask you, what are you doing out here?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I don't know.
Your brain works, you know?
I don't know. Just somebody told me, you know? The guy in the back told me we need money. The guy in the front told me you got to do it, you know? It's just...
random.
Basically speaking, if the why is not clear, the how doesn't make any sense. Because we can talk about the how till the cows come home. You know? Technique, strategy, all these different things. But unless... it is all based upon the why we're doing what we're doing. It makes no sense whatsoever. Because you're going to be out there, people are going to ask you, what are you doing with your life? You're in London. You could be making money. You could be out there clubbing. You could be out there enjoying yourself. You could be out there being a success, right? Mm-hmm. So while you're out here standing with this religious literature, you know, earning about, you know, 20 cents an hour... you know, this makes no sense on the material perspective. And your mind will also ask you, what are you doing here? You know, the sun is out, you could be down by the water, you could be having a good time. And then, yeah, actually you're right. Why am I doing what I'm doing? So your homework for tomorrow is to write down your top 5 reasons why am I distributing Prabhupada's books. Huh? You might have 108 reasons, but I just want to hear the top 5. What gets you going? Not just something you read someplace or you heard someplace, but really from your heart. Why do I want to preach? Why do I want to give these books to others? It's got to be personal. It means it's got to be your reasons, your answers. Then, after the what and the why is clear, then the next thing is how. And then, you know, where, when, who, all these things. That comes after, that follows in line. But if the why is not clear, it doesn't make any sense. It's not really connected. So we're going to speak today mainly about the why and a little bit about the how. But we'll have workshops in the next following days where we're going to speak about how to approach somebody, how to stop them, how to introduce the book, how to introduce yourself, the whole interaction, asking the right type of questions, open-ended questions, closed-ended questions, basic human psychology, finding out people's interests, connecting the book with their lives, and then, you know, closing the deal and the follow-up. So this will come in the next few days. Today's topic is being an ambassador of goodwill. Do all of you know what an ambassador is?
Like a captain?
No. An ambassador is?
Representative.
A representative, exactly. Like for instance, if you would be the ambassador of Bangladesh here in London, in England, for the people in England, you are Bangladesh, meaning you represent the country. Your name might be, you know, C.N. Das, but that is not important. Important is you representing the country. And anybody says anything to you, does anything to you, or interacts with you, they're doing it to the country. That's why they're putting great stress and emphasis on how you treat diplomats and how, you know, how they're treated, how things are acted upon. Because otherwise there might be repercussions, there might be difficulties. Like we see, you know, every week there is something going on someplace in the world, like Gaddafi's son in Geneva, you know. I don't know. We don't want to get into politics, but just, you know, small issues happening and major, major troubles coming up. Well, just to give you an example, you know Gaddafi? He's the president of which country?
Libya.
And his son was in Geneva. And there was some problem there with one of the staff. And there was a case against him, a criminal case for assault and battery or something severe. So they took him down to the station, they took pictures, they put a case on him. And this resulted in the fact that Gaddafi in Libya shut down the Swiss embassy, sent all the companies home. He told everybody, Nestle, all these companies, he told them, you can go home, you know. He took hostages. It's very severe. Very intense. Just because his son, who's not even an ambassador, but he's like an ambassador, has been, you know, supposedly mistreated. So for the people on the street, what does it mean, being an ambassador? It means you represent, you carry a whole lot of importance. You may think, oh, I'm just Das or Devi Dasi or I'm just Bhakta Joe, and you know, it doesn't really matter. But for the person on the street, you represent Srila Prabhupada, the Guru Parampara, you represent ISKCON, you represent Krishna, you represent everything. Because you're the ambassador of the Hare Krishna movement. So that's why before you can work in the diplomatic service, they make sure you're well-trained, you're well-educated, and you're well-behaved. Because otherwise, you will give off a, you know, a bad impression. You will create bad public opinion. So, be an ambassador of goodwill. Goodwill, anybody can define goodwill?
Doing good cause for the people.
Doing good cause for the people, yes. What else?
Reputation.
Reputation.
You leave a good taste. You know?
You leave a good taste, yes.
Wanting others to be happy.
Wanting others to be happy. Spreading goodwill means sarve sukino bhavantu. Everybody is happy. Everybody gets a very positive experience. So becoming an ambassador of goodwill means we are the representative of the all positive message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and His pure representative, Srila Prabhupada, and of this ISKCON movement. So, just click once. This is a little pamphlet Srila Prabhupada produced announcing the 60 volumes English edition of Srimad Bhagavatam carried by Srila Prabhupada on the Scindia steamship to America. He published this in India before he went to the West. So he already knew, I'm going to do these 60 volumes. There's no question, there was no doubt about it. It took him 5 years to produce the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in 3 volumes. 5 years. Now, you don't know what in those days what it meant to produce a book. Nowadays, you know, we have major trouble just getting a little bit of technology working here. But in those days, producing a book meant, first you have to write it. But you can't write it because it's translated. So you have to translate it from Sanskrit, which is a very ancient, very deep, very elaborate language, into the English language. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he's from Kolkata. So Bengali is his mother tongue. Sanskrit is not his mother tongue. So he has to translate from one foreign language into another foreign language. Huh? That is a very difficult job. Now, you might know some French and some Italian. But if I ask you to translate something from French into Italian, it would be difficult, right? So, Srila Prabhupada not only translated it, he also typed it, he also edited it, and then from Vrindavan, he took the train to Delhi to go and print it. Now, it's not like here, you just jump on the tube, you know, and zip, 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 you're here and there. Any of you who have moved in India or in Bangladesh, you know that, you know, moving is difficult. You might want to do 10 things in a day, but if you do one thing, you're lucky. Huh? Right? Every time I get into that taxi to go from Mayapur to Kolkata, it's a 3-hour drive. I have a list of 15 things which I need to do. And if I do 2 or 3, I'm lucky. That's just the way how it is, right? So, at the age of 70, or almost 70, he's going to Delhi, and he's dealing with the printers. Now, it's not like here, you can just send, okay, you make a deal, and you send your FTP file to the server of the printing house, and he sends you a PDF, and he says, it's all good, all fine, Roger, print this, this many copies, this is the price, we'll ship it to this address, you know, drop the money in my bank account. It doesn't work like that. First of all, you got to find some funds, because if you don't have money, nobody will move. Nothing moves if you don't have money. Then, you got to go there, and it's done by lead print. You know lead press? Any of you have seen lead press? Most of the young kids, you never heard of that. Formerly, you know, they didn't print with computers and, yeah, and it works. Like my grandfather, he was a lead press, the ones who assemble it? Typesetting in a newspaper. You have a big box with wooden small compartments, and in every compartment there is, you know, the E, the I, the A, all the different letters, or the commas, or the point. So you have to collect all these and put them all on a line and then put them together. And you make pages like that. And then you put paper over it, you put ink on it, and then you wipe the paper over it. And this is how you print. Now, for you young people, this sounds like Stone Age. But this is the way how they printed in those days. This is the way how Prabhupada published Back to Godhead magazine. This is the way how he published Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. Then you have to take it and you have to read it and correct it. Because a lot of times those letters are in the wrong boxes. So there is plenty of mistakes. So they have to be changed. So you have to do all the corrections. Then once it is actually printed, you have to take... First you have to go to the market and buy the paper. Then you have to walk with the paper to the printer. Because otherwise you'll get a different type of quality of paper. And then you have to make sure he prints it. Then after it's printed, gets caught, then you have to take it to the binder. It's a different place. You have to walk with your merchandise every step of the game. And then it gets bound, you know? People are there, like you see in Mayapur, they put it between their feet, you know, and they sew it. They sew the different packs of pages together and they bind it into a book. And then you put the stamp on top of it. So this is a very laborious process. Prabhupada did this all by himself. So he saw to do 60 volumes is not going to happen in his lifetime because it took him 5 years to publish the first 3 volumes. So that's why he was very, very anxious. I got to go to America because they have far more advanced superior technology and there's a lot of people there who will help me in publishing Srimad Bhagavatam. So that was the reason why he came to the West. to publish Srimad Bhagavatam. And he came with a box of books. And if you read his diary, you see how for more than a year, when Prabhupada arrived in America, he had 40 rupees, which he couldn't even change, and $20 from selling a set of Bhagavatams to the captain. That was his first real money he had. And for 1 year, he just survived on selling his Srimad Bhagavatams. Now, if I'd send you to Tokyo or to Moscow, and I give you 200 Bhagavad Gitas, and I say you have to live off this for the next year, that will give you a certain edge, right? Huh? You would get a certain edge. And I know some devotees who have done it. They just went to, that's the way how Krishna consciousness movement spread. Srila Prabhupada sent the first disciples here to London like that. Three couples of householders 40 years ago. And he just said, you go and you chant Hare Krishna, you take these books and magazines, you distribute them, and whatever collection you have, you know, in this way you live and you start a center. So that's the way how Krishna consciousness movement spread. Srila Prabhupada did it himself. For over a year, he just subsisted by the distribution of his books because there was nobody there to help him. Yes, only Krishna helped it. Next, please.
That's a good point.
One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who doesn't think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So where is this quote from?
12 chapter,
which verse?
13.
Wow. Very good, 2 points. Huh? If you get 10 points, you can go out early and take prasadam. Keeps you on your toes, right? Okay, so, do we want to become dear to Krishna?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course. We want His mercy, right? We need His mercy. So, how do we get His mercy?
Following the Guru, right?
What did it say in the verse? By?
Being non-envious.
Being non-envious? What else?
Being a friend to everyone.
Being a kind friend to all living entities? What else was there? We just read it.
Being
7 seconds ago.
Equal in happiness.
Equal in happiness and distress. So these are the characteristics of a book distributor, of a preacher, of a person who goes out and shows compassion to other living entities. So basically, by doing this activity, by doing this service, you become dear to Krishna. Because automatically, you develop all these qualities. You have to be free from happiness and distress. You have to be equal-minded. Because you are meeting all different types of people. Very, very positive people. Very negative people. Sometimes it's a very enlightening exchange. Sometimes it might be quite the opposite. You have to stay equipoised. You can't be emotionally attached or involved. You have to stay calm and peaceful, and not disturb your neighbor, and focused on the seminar, and not just running off in your own mind, you know. I can hear your minds, you know. Some are thinking, yeah, this is quite interesting, let's see more videos. Some are thinking, I'm hungry, you know, why is he talking so much, let's get this over with. Others are thinking, I'm missing, you know, the action, the practical stuff, the tactics, the jokes. Don't worry, we'll get there, you know, in due course of time. But you have to pay the price. You have to put in your 2 cents. You have to show that you're sincere. You have to put in a little effort, you know. So, next one. Somebody can read.
He for whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anyone. Who is equiposed in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety is very dear to me.
So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that if you are of these qualities, of these characteristics, you are very dear to me. So we want to become dear to the Lord because we have neglected the Lord. We have avoided Him for a long time. Now we've got a chance to prove ourselves that we're worthy of His mercy, that we're worthy of His grace. So we have got the chance to become very dear to Krishna. So we should take this chance very seriously. Next. So the goal of book distribution is... Somebody can read this loud, please.
P.
people will remember and tell others about meeting me. Therefore, I always do my best to leave everyone with a good impression.
So the goal of Sankirtan is to leave each and every person with a good impression. What does that mean?
Service in them fully. They're satisfied with this
you
service.
You service them fully. Huh? Okay, what else does it mean?
Good taste, they go away even if they don't take the book thinking those are nice people.
Well, he didn't take a book. Then, you know, that means he's useless or he's a demon. I have to tell him that. He's going straight to hell.
Not at all.
Not at all.
He thinks we're nice people, he'll take one. If I've taken a book of someone, that's because 15 devotees have chipped away at him already and then finally took it from me.
So you, what you're saying is it's not just a one chance, you know, this is it, heaven or hell, you know. Either you take it or you're damned forever.
It's not like that.
The work's been done. The work's happening. This is bigger than you and me and all of us combined. This is something massive. And we're just able to be a little messenger. We're just able to put in our own contribution, you know, of trying to spread some goodwill. Basically speaking, we're just trying to fill everybody's cup. Everybody's got a cup. Some got small cup, medium cup, large, extra large, big cup. And we're just trying to pour a little nectar in there. We're just trying to, you know, make their day a little bright, to give them some positive experience. And some, all they can take is a smile. They can't take more than that. All they can take is a few friendly words. Hey, how are you doing today? And that's that, you know? For today, that's that. Maybe tomorrow or next week, it's continuation, you know, to be continued. Don't think that you are the only person they're ever going to meet of the Hare Krishnas, or you're their only chance, or their only savior. Otherwise, you know, you develop the wrong mentality. Of course, somebody might say, this person might die any moment. Yes, it's true. So does anybody. But don't think that you're the only solution to people's problems. Many times, people need a few positive interactions before they actually take a book. Why is that so?
Conditioning.
Builds up that trust.
Builds up their trust.
Also, Krishna is teaching us maybe also to be detached to the result.
Krishna is working on us, on our mentality.
Everyone's so used to being cheated all the time.
People have got bad experience. You know, they just met five people down the road who were collecting for this, that, and the other thing.
Some are already awake, others need more time to wake up, to be woken up. And yes. It's the same as when you are shaking somebody too fast or too...
Some people hear the alarm clock, you know, and boom, they're up. Yeah. And other people, you've got to take that bucket of water, you know. It just takes different strategies, yes.
I mean, if they meet one devotee who's nice, I think, okay, he was nice. And then they'll meet a second one, oh, she was nice. Third, fourth, fifth, and I think... all of these guys are really nice. What is it, you know, that they've got that we haven't got?
Chipping away.
And then they'll eventually think, okay, let me take a look.
Yes, all of these. And so the main underlying principle is that if people do not take a book, it is because there's a lack of trust. The trust has not been built up sufficiently. They don't trust that this will help them, that this will be very interesting, that they'll get something out of this. It's a lack of trust. And that's because they don't have enough information, they don't have enough conviction, all of these things. If people meet you on the street, they want to know three things. What are the top three things people want to know?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Yes, who are you? Then the second one.
Why are you doing it?
No.
What will I get from
this? No. Second thing.
What is it then for me?
No.
How much money is it
going to
cost?
No.
Does it work?
What is this book? What you got? And the third one is, what's in it for me? Why it's not how much? Why is it not about the price, about the money? Because we could just be doing a sales workshop here, you know? You say the right thing, you smile at the right time, you make the right kind of joke, and then the money jumps out. Why is it not?
If they aren't interested, they won't take it even if it's free.
They won't even take it if it's for free, if they don't feel like that this is, you know, corresponding to their type of personality or interest. Why also is the what's in it for me more important than the how much?
Because you're not selling a book, you're selling yourself.
It's about you. It's a personal thing. It's an emotional thing. Yes. What else?
And on the other side, what Mataji said, if they are interested, then money's not a problem anymore. Yeah. They'll find money.
Have you seen how much money people are spending every day here?
Yeah.
They're spending £8 a day just to drive into the town. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And that's not parking. That's not, you know, insurance, fuel, food, drink. That's just to drive through the town. That's £8. So if you want it, you pay for it. That's the bottom line. But if you don't want it, you're not even going to pick it up for free. So people have three question marks on their foreheads. If you're able to answer their three questions in the first 30 seconds, mm-hmm. without them having to ask those questions, you've got yourself a book distributed, my dear sir. Money back guarantee. You go out and you try it. If you tell people who you are, well, who are you? Well, you are who you are. You might be an IT specialist, you might be a student, you might be a housewife, you might be a monk, you might be a retired person, you might be, you know, whatever. Nobody can argue with the truth because it's the truth. Right? It's who you are. So you just tell people, I'm doing this and that. Mm-hmm. And then what's the book? We're going to speak about this tomorrow. How to present Bhagavad Gita on its own value. It's not about telling people, hey, you know, we come from over here and we're going over there and take one of these and throw in some coins, you know. We're collecting for the elephants in Africa and for the ants in Alaska, you know. And some people, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. Here's some money, and they walk away. Why is it not about that?
That's not maintainable.
That's not maintainable, it's not sustainable. What else?
It should be distributed on its own strength.
So it should be distributed on its own strength, on its own merit. Otherwise, the person gets home and he said, you know, ants in Africa and elephants in Alaska. And it's the Hare Krishna. It's a scam. You know?
It's supposed to be even Brahminical culture. People.
Brahminical culture, yes. What does Brahminical culture mean?
Truthfulness.
Yes, that means you can't speaking lies day in and day out and expect to be Brahminical. It doesn't work. Okay, so presenting the book on its own merit, we'll have a session about that tomorrow, because there's a lot to be said about that. Mm-hmm. What's in the book, how to present the book in an attractive way. And what's in it for me, what does that mean?
What do they gain out of it?
What do they gain out of it? Connect the books to their personality. But that means you have to be personal. You have to figure out who you got in front of you. You have to deal with them like a person. You can't just distribute a book in an impersonal way. You can't just say, okay, you know, here, take this and put the money over there and get lost. It doesn't work. You have to interact with the individual. You have to connect the book to their lives. Now, you may say, I'm not interested in their lives. I'm not interested in their petty problems. I'm not interested in, you know, whether he's married and he's got kids. I'm a brahmachari. You know, what do I care? It's none of my business, right? You know why it's your business? Because if you don't care about him, he's not going to care about you. It's very simple. If you don't care about me and you don't listen to me, why should I listen to you? It's called reciprocation. That's the law of the game.
Yeah, that's what I do a lot.
And if you're listening to the people and you're actually having an interaction with them, and you're not just, you know, going out to the park feeding the pigeons, but, you know, you're actually connecting with them as a person, you will see how people, they warm up to you, they open up to you, they tell you their life, they tell you their stories, you know, and they take you very seriously. Because if you are caring about me, well, I start caring about you and I start caring about what you have here. What's this interesting book you're having here right now? So it's all about making the connection. So we'll speak about that, how to make the connection. So these are the three question marks, just as a little, you know, side point, little interjection here in this presentation. So the goal is to leave everybody with a good impression, which means some people a smile, some people a friendly word, some people you present the book, but they're not yet there, you know. Sometimes we think, oh, okay, we got to finish this quick now, you know, let's pick him up and carry him over the finish line. And it might work, you know. In some cases it might work. But sometimes people will get a little disturbed because it has to be from their own. Yeah.
Did I hear correctly? You should go through these three things in like the first 30 seconds?
Yeah? It can be done in 3 seconds, it can be done in 30 seconds, it might take 3 minutes. It depends on your personality and your style of approach.
Okay, yes,
but if the person just goes, how much? You know? Yeah. It happens a lot. Because everything's clear. You told me everything I need to know.
Yeah,
you don't need to open the whole thing and get into the whole thing. Because if I know who you are, what this book is about, and what's in it for me, I'm sold. It's a done deal. But if these three things are not clear, if you want to hide your personality or the book, or you don't want to deal with the person in front of you, you're going to have problems. Because the person at one point, he'll just say, not interested, not really my thing, you know. Maybe another time. They start coming up with excuses and so many other things. Why? Because you have not really connected with that person on a personal level. Otherwise, they wouldn't come up with all these stories. So when you get into all these excuses and objections, which we're also going to deal with in this seminar, it means you have avoided to address these three issues, these three points. You just want to go to the finish line. And it didn't work that way. Because you can't start backwards, you know? You have to start in a proper sequence. All right, next one. So, priorities. You got to have priorities in life. You all know what priorities mean, right? You got your priorities. You're here in the seminar. You're not out there doing other things because you got priorities. So, number one, be kind and respectful. Kindness goes a long way. You know, it's a hard word out there. It's a dog-eat-dog society. People are, you know, they're fighting for survival. So just to be kind and to be respectful will gain you a lot of appreciation, will gain you a lot of, you know, positive people, a lot of positive response. You don't have to read all of them now. We're going to go through them one at a time. But this is just the system how it works. So, no. Stay on there. I'm just saying, because everybody's busy reading and not, you know, connecting with me. Maybe you go back to the picture before. So to be kind and be respectful. Our techie didn't set it up in such a way that zoom, you know, the first line comes in and then ta-da, and the music, you know, goes on. We're still low-tech here, you know. So, to be kind and respectful. I know it sounds very basic, it sounds very elementary, it's not rocket science, but can we get it over? Can we actually get it across? Can we actually do it? Is it possible for us to be kind and respectful? That's the question. Or is it too much to ask? Like nowadays, all of you know, every day, you're exposed to the reality of people working in the service industry without having a service attitude. Does it ever happen to you? You call, you know, phone inquiry, or you walk into a store, and the person, A, doesn't know what they're doing, B, couldn't care less what they're doing, C, is rude and disrespectful. How does it make you feel?
Bad.
Bad, yeah. You feel like, you know, why am I wasting my time for? You know, why am I trying to give you guys business? This is not the way how it's supposed to be. Now, if somebody doesn't know, that's a different topic. But if at least they're nice, they're kind, they're respectful, you know, you feel like you're treated like a human being. So, do you think that being kind and respectful goes a long way in being an ambassador?
Definitely.
You think this is an important quality?
Compassion is really powerful.
So, we should develop these qualities. And kindness and compassion comes from developing the 26 qualities of a devotee, basically speaking. Because a devotee is kind and compassionate. It's not that we can just say, okay, this is a good marketing strategy, so you be kind and compassionate now. If you use this in a marketing seminar, people will say, what? Compassionate? You know? Come on, it's a cutthroat society, you know? Let's do business. I'm not. But people want to feel empathy, you know? Next one. Don't concentrate on your personal scores or results. Yes, you can go back. A lot of times new devotees, they get into book distribution and they think it's all about the score. I got to do my 20 small books, or I got to do my 5 Gitas today. Otherwise, you know, I don't feel the buzz. I don't feel it. I need to feel the buzz, you know. I got to be number one. Huh? What's this number one business? There's only one number one.
Krishna.
Krishna. Krishna. And then comes?
Prabhupada.
No, Srimati Radharani. And then all the way down. So whether you are 5 billion, you know, 75 million, 342, or 349, or 386, does it really matter? No, it doesn't. So it's not about the score. Huh? Yes?
Focusing on the score means that you are focusing, you are still thinking you are the doer. Doesn't
yeah, and you think with every interaction, you think like, oh, I'm going to get, you know, some Lakshmi points or some book points out of this person. And then, you know, the person is there, they hold the book, the money is already out, you know, and they take one more look at your face, and they put the money back in their pocket and say, I'm not taking it. Has this ever happened to you?
Yes.
How did it make you feel?
Terrible.
Like a jerk, right? Terrible. Yeah. And you already thought, oh, this is already, you know, this is already, I already scored, right? I already made that, you know? I already made that tick. It's already done. You know, done deal. And boom, the books goes back, the money goes in the pocket, and no matter how much energy you put in to try to, it's gone. It's over. You know? Walk away from it. Now why? Why does this happen? Oh, he's just a demon. He was not interested. He didn't want to take the book. No! You were attached to the result, to the score. And Krishna, who is in the heart of the living entity, and he's also in your heart, you know, he's got a very good connection. Krishna in your heart, and Krishna in the heart of the living entity. So he knows if you're attached. So then Super Soul in the heart of the living entity also knows, you know, automatically, real-time transfer, knows all the information, and just tells the person, don't take the book. He's a fake. He wants to cheat you. Don't give him some money. Now a neophyte person may say, what is this? Are you trying to tell me that Krishna tells this person not to take the book and not to give the money? Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Why?
Honesty.
Well, the neophyte person, the beginner, may say, well, it's unfair. You know, Krishna's the inside agent and he's working against me. Why doesn't he go out and distribute his own books? You know? Why does he tell me I should go out and distribute books and he's working against me? That's unfair. Right? No, Krishna is more interested in you getting purified and becoming humble and becoming detached than that person getting a book. Don't worry. That person will get a book, but not from you. Like some people are saying, I want this book, but not from you. How does that make you feel? You're like, you know, like you got an arrow in your heart, you know? Because the truth hurts. It's reality. Have you ever happened? It happens to me so many times. Group of devotees distributing. Somebody I see, they get approached by a devotee. They don't take the book. They come walking. I stop them. I give them a book. They give a donation. I ask them, my dear sir, my dear lady, what about that guy up there? He just wanted to give you the book. They say, no, 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 that was something different. That was a different thing. Different story, different company, different... I say, no, 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 same book, same people. No, because if the consciousness is different, for them, it's all different.
The approach is wrong.
It's all different. And sometimes it happens to me. They don't take from me, they take from somebody else. So, that teaches us something. That Krishna wants us to become humble. He wants us to become detached from our score. Mm-hmm. As long as we think, I'm the doer, we're going to suffer. And Krishna is going to make it so obvious, so blunt. You know, the money's already there in his hand. You already touch it. You already touch it. And zoop! It slips away. Has it ever happened to you? Huh? And you feel like, oh, not again. You know? Something cringes inside you. Why? Because Krishna is a merciful Lord. He's the most merciful. He wants you to become detached. He wants you to give up the tendency of being the controller, of being the enjoyer. You can just be an instrument. Like Krishna told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, you just be my instrument and everything will be fine. But if you think you're the doer, you're the mover and the shaker, you're going to be in trouble. So, on Sankirtan, we have this chance, on book distribution, to learn how to be detached. We learn it, sometimes the hard way. Because Krishna is very kind, he's very merciful. So it's not our score, it's not our result. Because we're simply the messenger. Like when you're working for the post office, sometimes you're delivering checks, sometimes you're delivering invoices, bills, you know. For you, it's all the same. Hi there, Mr. Smith. Here for you. Hi there, Mr. Watson. Here for you. You know, for you, it's the same. You're just doing your service. You're a peon. You're an order carrier. You're not acting on your own behalf. So we're not whimsical. Next. Any questions, you please feel free to ask in between. Yes, you can go back to the picture.
Like many times I feel I'm not able to distribute so many books, but I see the other devotees, they're doing it. So I see there is a potential. And that the thing is that I need to do something so that the books gets distributed.
Yes.
The book needs, there is a potential.
Yes.
Because other devotees are doing. So there is something that I need to do so that the books go. So that pressure is there to like distribute and to increase the number of books that are going.
Yes, but pressure, you know, different people react differently to pressure. Like I know, you know, this guy acts well under pressure because he can handle it. But I know that some of you won't. There's different personalities, you know? Like some people who were in sports before, in business before, they have a certain way how to deal with pressure. When they get pressured, they just, you know, they step right up to the game. But you have a lot of people, you put pressure on them, they crumble. They just disintegrate. It just stops right there. So you have to see, what kind of a person am I? Can I handle pressure? Do I like competition? Can I deal with this? Or does the pressure has to be off and it's, you know, just go out, have a good time, be relaxed? There's different types of personalities. Not everybody's the same. Because what's the use if the person gets the book, but you yourself, you get a negative, you know? Being an ambassador of goodwill doesn't just, it goes both ways, you know? You have to have a good experience. Otherwise, people take one look at your face and they say, you know, you're telling me this book is about yoga meditation and how to get free from stress. Why don't you read it yourself? It looks like you need it more than I do. You know? And sometimes they're right. They're right. So, if they say, I got no problems in my life except you, you know, get out of my face. My day was bright and brilliant till I met you. So then either you crack up and you laugh and you relax a bit, or you stay up tight, you know, and you become one of these self-righteous born-again Hare Krishnas. And you cause pain to others and you cause pain to yourself. But this is not pleasing to Krishna. And you can think as long as you want, I got to do 5 or 10 books or whatever. If it just ruins your service, then forget about it. You just go out and you just become an ambassador of goodwill. You just spread the good word. You just spread the good energy. You just give out positive energy. And the more you spread positive energy, the more positive energy comes back to you. Till you become so potent, so powerful, like a red hot iron, which everything it touches, it just goes up in flame. Poof. You know, like when Lord Nityananda went out preaching from door to door, and he saw that there was a little spark of good quality in a person, he would fan it. But if he saw the person is just completely materialistic, demoniac, there is nothing, no good quality, nothing is there, he would just take that spark and put it there and fan it. So you can have people who are so far away from Krishna that even if you tried, you could not be further away from Krishna. But because the devotee is merciful, the devotee is kind, and the devotee is very determined, and goes out to give this person Krishna's mercy, he can somehow get this person attracted to Krishna consciousness. And we see it happen every day. If you want to see miracles, people come here and they say, where are the miracles? You know, where is the magic? Right?
You guys do the yoga thing. Where's the magic? And Prabhupada used to say, this is the magic. I've taken all these people who were engaged in illicit activities and I've made them into devotees. This is the magic. So if you want to see the magic of the Hare Krishna movement, you go on book distribution. You will see magic every day. People who come running down the street saying no, 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 and they walk back in the same direction they came from, holding a book saying yes, yes, yes. We see it every day. People are like a glove which you pull it to the other side, completely changed, just by getting in contact with Prabhupada's books. So if you want to see that miracle, you got to learn the art of book distribution. But it's going to take a little effort. It's going to take a little time. You may think, oh, we do a four-day workshop, and then next week, if this doesn't work by next Wednesday or Friday, the latest, then it's all no good, right? I want my money back. Or what's the use of it? I can tell you right now, if you want to get a hang of this book distribution, it will take you 2 to 3 years. I mean, anything you learn, anything you do, riding a bicycle, driving a car, being an IT specialist, how many years did you study? Huh?
2 years of study, 8 years practice.
2 years of study, 8 years practice, and before that you had how many years of school? A long time, right? If you want to be a doctor, you want to be a surgeon, do heart surgery, how many years does it take in the UK? Medicine usually is 7 or 8 years. Then specialization is another 4 years. So you're doing 12 years before you even operate on a live person. Now we're like heart surgeons. We're going right into the heart of the person, taking out stuff, putting stuff in, moving things around. You're right there, This is open heart surgery. This is as good as it gets. This is where the rubber meets the road. And you think, I've done a weekend seminar with Navi Nanirada Das, and now I can just wing it, No, it doesn't work like that. You have to put in a little more. You have to pay the price. If you're putting in some effort, I'm not saying every day, but if you go out once a week, a couple of times a month, within a matter of 2 to 3 years, you will get to learn this activity very nicely. By 5 to 7 years, you become good at it. If you want to become expert, it'll take you 10 years. Now the question is, are you ready to put in that effort, that time, that energy, that dedication? If not, no harm. You can still get a very positive, result. You can still do a lot of service and be very much inspired. But we have to have the proper attitude. Krishna in the beginning, initially, is giving us usually a lot of bonus, He just gives us a lot of positive experience. Mm-hmm. Huh? But then, after that, you go through the desert on that horse with no name, Huh? You're up that famous creek, without a paddle. And it's hard. It's difficult. Why? Because Krishna wants to work on us. So the point was, where did I get off track? Personal results, scores, exactly. So whether you do 2 small books or 5 small books or 20 small books, don't be uptight. Don't be stuck, There will always be somebody who does 10 times more and there will always be somebody who does 10 times less. Like, your taste in prasadam is not determined by how many books you did, right? It's not. Your taste in chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not determined whether you did 2 or 5 or 20 books. So don't make your life dependent on a score. Otherwise you put yourself into difficulty. And it happens time and time again. Oh, last Saturday I did 10 books. Now today I have to do at least 10 books. Otherwise, what if I do 5 books? The point is, end of the day, you've got to be satisfied. If Krishna sees you're not satisfied, next time, he'll give you half the result. Let's see how he deals with that. Does he still think I'm God? Or does he, still continue going on? Oh no, if I don't do 10 books today, I won't continue this activity. No. Krishna wants us to become more humble, to become more detached. to become more surrendered. Yes, Adam.
How to deal with pressure, results-orientated pressure that is there?
Well, it depends. Where is the pressure coming from? Now we're talking about pressure which is self-inflicted. Most of the pressure comes right from here, from this person right here. So we have to stop it. And if pressure is coming from your authorities or from peers or from others, then it depends. If you can handle it and you thrive on it, you eat it for breakfast, you love pressure, fine, go right ahead. You know, pressure all you want. But if you can't, then you just got to tell them to, you know, back off. This is not working. This is counterproductive. Next one.
Sorry, can I just ask,
sure.
you were talking about satisfaction.
Yes.
You said if Krishna sees we are not satisfied, then he will give us difficulties. Satisfied in which
way? Not difficulties, just if he sees you're not satisfied with your score, then he might give you less score.
So satisfied in a material way, because ultimately if we do some service to please Krishna, then we are satisfied. So it's
yes.
The material way.
But it's not dependent on the result.
Yeah.
Like, there are days where I don't distribute even one book. And I can still go on living, you know? I'm still breathing. I'm still smiling. I had a great meal today. In fact, I had two great meals today. A lot of great talks. It was a wonderful day. I have not distributed one book today. And I'm not feeling shameful, bad, disgruntled, upset, you know? Because sometimes devotees get into this trip that unless I get my quota, I can't go on living. And then they run around trying to, you know, grab people and, you know, get them to do things which they want them to do. It doesn't work that way. So we have to be satisfied with what Krishna gives us. Develop the habit of expressing sincere gratitude and thanks to people you meet, live with, or associate with. Yes. So, gratitude. To thank the people. Thank you for taking your time. Thank you for taking your valuable time to look at these books. Even when they don't take the book. Vaisheshika Prabhu from San Jose, he just mentioned to me that he met a Christian couple and he showed them the book and, you know, they looked at it and after a short while they said, you know what, we're Christians, we can't take this. Does it ever happen to you?
Yeah.
People
yeah.
say, I'm of a different faith, I can't take this. Now, there's different ways how you can deal with that. You can either say, what? You're a Christian? A what? You know? People still do that? You know? Or you can say, oh no, you know, this is bad. You're going straight to hell or this or that. Or why did you waste my time, you know? I mean, couldn't you tell just right in the beginning? I'm not interested. No. How you should respond is, you're a Christian? That's wonderful.
Yeah.
The world needs more people like you. The world will be a better place with more people like you. Thank you for taking your valuable time for looking at these books. I wish you a wonderful day. And they went off. And half an hour later they came back. And they said, we're very sorry, we have to apologize, we were rude to you, you know? And we want to take one of your literatures and give a donation.
Wow.
Because he touched their hearts. Just by being kind and appreciating them, just by thanking them. So always thank the people. Oh, thank you. You know, like, you're out there in the morning and you tell people, well, thanks for being out so early, you know? It's just thank people. It makes a world of a difference. Just a little thank you. It makes a world of a difference. Yes.
But you've got to mean it as well, brother.
You've got to mean it. It's not just lip service. Yeah. It's not just something nice you throw out there, you know, a million times a day. Mm-hmm. Hello, thank you, and goodbye. Hello, thank you, and goodbye. Hello, thank you, and goodbye. That doesn't do the trick, right? It's not really going very deep. But somebody looks you in the eye and says, thank you for being here. Thank you for having a look at this. Thank you for taking your time. You know, it means something. Especially if he comes from a person who is not going to distribute a book, who is not going to make a sale, who is not going to get any money, you know? That person just walks in. Like you go into a store, and the store doesn't have what you want, but he tells you where to get it from the competition down the road. How does that make you feel? Next time, you're going to go back to that store and make sure you're going to give this guy some business. because he treated you like, you know, like a civilized human being. But if the guy says, if I don't have it, it doesn't exist on the planet, you know? And you don't believe me, that means you're just, you know? So then, you just know, it's just another one of those people. And not just the people on the street, it also goes for the people you work with and live with. You know? Those little words, thank you, excuse me, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, it means a lot. Because it shows that we actually develop the qualities of a Vaishnava. And that's the process of book distribution. Next one. Remember, preaching means giving. We're a giving movement. We're not out there to get. We're not out there to collect. We're not out there to extract, you know, blood from a stone or money from, you know, the ignorant masses. Krishna is no poor man. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune. He owns everything. It's all his. He's not into the money. He's also not into himself. He's not walking down Oxford Street with a t-shirt and a panel, you know, a poster which says, vote me for God, or I'm a great guy, I'm good looking, you know, free hugs. No. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't have to blow his own horn. He's very detached. He's svarat. He's completely independent. Completely peaceful and happy. So preaching means giving. We're a giving movement. Huh? Distribute goodwill. Distribute the message. Give people the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Don't think, what can I take? What can I get from this? You immediately see, you meet a person on the street, and you immediately see, this person is checking me out, you know? What's the angles? What can I get from this person? How can I squeeze this person through my little machine, you know, to get what I want? I mean, you feel it, right? The guy approaches you immediately, you know, classify. Oh, charity, beggar, homeless, Hare Krishna, this, that, the other thing, right? In all the different categories. But if you meet a person who is genuine and who is just giving you, you know, giving you a positive experience, you feel, yeah, I want to spend a few moments with this person because this person's for real. This person's giving me something. Because you're not out there taking something. You're just out there giving. Well, you might say, well, if I'm just giving all day long, then at the end I won't have anything left, right? But that's not the truth. As you will learn in the four ironclad laws of book distribution. The more you distribute Krishna consciousness, the more you become Krishna conscious yourself. It's a magic process. It's magic. The more you distribute, the more it increases. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I'm a gardener. There's so many mangoes here, I can't distribute them all. And the more you distribute, the more mangoes are there. So he's urging, he's asking everybody, please distribute this nectar, because it's too much. I can't distribute it on my own. So the more you're giving Krishna consciousness to others, the more your taste for Krishna consciousness will increase. I have a little personal experience from that, as do all of you. I mean, how much you can taste prasadam? How much more can you taste if you distribute it to others?
You don't even have to take it sometimes.
You don't even have to take it sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's nothing left, but you're satisfied.
Yeah.
You're happy. Right? Your day is perfect. Why? Because you have given. You have shared with others the gift, the nectar of Krishna consciousness. But as long as you're thinking, oh, you know, let me get so much for me, and, you know, oh, I can't distribute this now because otherwise there'll be nothing left for me, you know. And you're disqualified. You can't serve prasadam with this type of mentality. That's why the senior devotees should distribute prasadam and not the juniors. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was distributing prasadam. And his hands were so large, he would give more than three people could eat. And there was no scarcity. So this is a giving movement. We're not out there to take anything. The only thing which we're taking from the person, what is that? What are we looking for? What are we trying to collect?
Donation to keep the
trust.
No.
Faith. Trust. What else?
Compassion.
Love.
Love.
Relationship.
Relationship. What else? a smile. We're looking for a little bit of sincerity. We're looking for a little bit of attention and affection. And we take that and we offer it to Krishna. Mm. So we give them the best we've got. And we take from them the best they've got. But that means we got to be convinced that giving them a Bhagavad Gita is the best thing for them right now. And not, oh, you know, what if I give him this book, he won't have, you know, the money to go and buy his pint of Guinness. I mean, I'm upsetting his sadhana, you know, I'm upsetting his lifestyle, you know. No. Sometimes people think like that. Am I really giving this person the most valuable thing? We got to be convinced. If we're not convinced that this is the most important literature and this is the most important activity, then how do you think you're going to convince these people? Now, we have to be more convinced about giving people Prabhupada's books than they are convinced about sense gratification. Now, they're pretty convinced about sense gratification. If you see those guys climbing over that fence in Soho Park at 4 in the morning, you know, to do whatever they're doing there, you know, they're pretty convinced, right? They're pretty determined. Now, we have to be more determined than that. Just a little story to interject. One time we were driving home from book distribution in Switzerland, Harinamananda, my good friend and brother and the biggest book distributors of all time, he said, stop the car. And so we stopped the car. He turned to the back and said to the devotee in the back, give me a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. So we handed him a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. There was an apartment building. He pointed at one of the windows where there was light on and he said, look up there. He went into the building, he went up there, you know, fourth floor. 10 minutes later, he came down. No more Srimad Bhagavatam set. He had sold those people a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. And we asked him, did you know these people? Did you make an appointment with them? He said, no. I just felt that they need a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. So, if you are so convinced that this person right in front of me needs Krishna more than anything else they need right now, they will take the book. Because desire is very powerful. If your desire is pure, it will blow them right away. But you have to know how to deal with desire. And you have to know how to project this energy and how to handle this energy. Because otherwise, you know, other types of things can happen. We'll speak about that later on. So right now, it's, you know, recognize the energy, learn how it works, direct it in the proper way so people can get benefit from it. Next. Don't be condescending. Don't talk down to people. Huh? Have you ever had the experience of people talking down to you? Yeah. In an arrogant, in a nosy, in a kind of, you know. How did it make you feel?
Like a straw on the floor.
Angry.
Angry, yeah. What else? Wanted to
knock him out.
Knock him out. Yeah. So, don't think, oh, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys, let's go out there and, you know, let's stick it to the man, let them have it. Yes.
A good way of overcoming that is to remember that Lord Nityananda reminded Lord Chaitanya that he was here to kill the demoniac propensity within us, not to kill us as demons.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily that we are the good guys. We could be the worst guys, but
we are spreading the message. We're just the messenger. We're just bringing the message of Lord Chaitanya. Mm-hmm. So, basically speaking, get rid of arrogance and pride, you know, all this. Even if it's a cultural conditioning, and I know it's there, in all of us who are not pure devotees yet, there's cultural conditionings of superiority complex, inferiority complex, you name it, it's the same coin. It's two sides of the same coin. Some people may feel themselves very shy and despondent. Some people may feel themselves very superior. It's all the same Maya. And there's different types of national flavors, you know, like in a store. They have, you know, vitamin water, 38 different flavors and colors. It's all the same stuff. You know?
Colored.
Yeah, just a few different colors and chemicals in there, but it's all the same stuff. So don't think, oh, in my culture, it's acceptable to be rude to people. Or it's acceptable to be cynical or, you know, to do all those things. Well, maybe the person in front of you is not from that type of background and culture, and he thinks, this person is sick, you know? Like, you go to a country where people are more simple in the meaning, in the sense of more natural, more sane, more humane, you know? And you talk in a cynical or in a derogatory or in a very ironic way, people look at you and they think, like, is he sick? What's wrong with this person? But if you talk like that in New York, it's perfectly acceptable. People think it's fun, you know? Oh, he insulted me. Oh, that's nice. You're a nice chap, you know? That's the way how they deal amongst each other. But if it's not done in that culture, don't do it, you know? So you have to be personable. Don't think because I'm from this place, so now, you know, I'm going to treat everybody right and I'm going to give them what they deserve. You have to understand there's different cultural conditioning. Huh? And being condescending means different things in different places. Like in some places, it really matters how you speak, how you move, how you give, you know, how you deal with people. In other places, it doesn't matter that much. So you have to see, what environment am I in? Next. Feel and express empathy. You know the difference between empathy and sympathy? Can somebody explain this? You're all educated people. Yes.
Try to like feel their suffering.
Empathy means you feel their suffering. And what does sympathy means?
You sympathize with them.
You sympathize with them. You know, okay, you're a nice chap, or this or that. Just, you know, nice, this, that. It's sympathy. Doesn't go as deep, not as profound. Empathy means you actually feel their suffering. Like, I talked to one of my friends in God Brothers, he's an Ayurvedic doctor, and he talked to some youth for vocational training, they want to get into Ayurveda, and they ask him, what's the top quality you got to have in order to be a doctor? And he said, you have to feel people's pain. If you're not able to feel people's pain, you can't be a doctor. That's the bottom line. So in the same way, if you're a preacher, if you're a Sankirtan devotee, you have to feel people's pain. You have to be empathic. You have to feel their suffering. Even though they may look all dressed up and all smiling and all styling, you have to feel that this person is lost. This person doesn't know. He's far away from home, you know? He's out here in the jungle, and he's lost. And I've got to give him the good message of Lord Krishna. Next. Practice parallel service means be well-balanced. Like a train is not running on one track, it's running on two tracks. So in this way, it's very balanced, it's very stable. Huh? Don't think, oh, I'm just a book distributor and I don't do anything else. Be balanced. Huh? It's good. You do some temple service, you do some puja, you do some preaching work, you do university preaching, you help out. You become a well-balanced personality, well-rounded. You can be used. And you can engage yourself in many different ways. Not that, oh, there's no books to distribute, you know. It's just no books to distribute. There's no service, you know. There's nothing to be done here. There's no people around. What are you going to do if you're in a spot where there's no books? Then you can't perform devotional service? You know? Or if you're in an environment where already everybody has the books, what are you going to do then? Then you sell the books to those who already have them? I mean, you know, you just... you got to be well-balanced. Next. Can somebody read this, please?
He is a perfect yogi who, by compassion to his own self... Comparison to his own self sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress, O Arjuna.
Next one. Somebody, loud and clear, please.
This is our movement. We want to see that everyone is happy. That is the Vedic vision. Sarva sukhenu bhavantu. This is human life. Human life means paropakara. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. To do others something auspicious. That is human life. The Prabhupada.
So Srila Prabhupada says, this is human life. This is just human life, to do good for others. Next. Somebody else read this?
An intermediate or second class devotee called Madhyama Adhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Engage everyone appropriately and as completely as possible.
Time. What if
message? Which means, give out lots of prasadam, especially to people you see regularly. Always have some prasadam, have some cookies, some maha, something, you know?
Mm.
Give it to all the people. Goes a long way, makes people very happy, you know? Some places they give sweets, in some places they give candies, lollipops, maha-prasad, some nuts, some dry fruit, a little something. Have something for the people. Goes a long way. Huh? Creates a lot of goodwill. People are very appreciative. Offer kind words. We already talked about that. Introduce the books. Teach the Maha Mantra. Once the interaction is done, don't just turn your back and walk away. Ask them, do you believe in the power of prayer? And a lot of people would say yes, because, you know, prayer is a common thing, right? So then you say, well, can you repeat after me? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then they start smiling. And they walk away the book. And you know, Krishna won, Prabhupada won, Maya zero. You know? Yes.
So it's nice when they give the money.
Mm.
So pay little attention to them after that.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't just drop them, you know? You still, you wrap it up. We'll speak about that later on. Avoid the envious. Don't, you know, fight people who are not interested. Give mercy to the innocent. Invite and follow up with favorable people. That means if you have that person who is like, wow, this is amazing. I was looking for this. You don't just walk away. You say, well, we were having classes about this every week. Can I have your email and your mobile number?
Yeah,
you take their details down. You give them a card, invitation to the temple.
Yeah.
Put your name down, you know. And then you invite them and you follow up with them. Because we're out there to collect goodwill. We're out there to engage people as completely as possible. And some people are ready. Other people are, no, it's okay, I know where you guys are, Soho, I've seen you, it's all right, I'm going to come at my own time, at my own leisure. That's all right, that's fine. But you can ask nicely, there's no harm in asking. Next. We're in the service business. Our motto, always better service. So this is, you know, outreach, preaching, book distribution. This is service. We're providing service to the people. So that means we got to have this service mentality, this service mood. Huh? Now it's time to stop and start the disco. The pop, you know.
What's mean motto?
Huh? Motto. Motto means like credo or like mantra. Huh? It's like slogan. It's motto.
Chant and be happy.
Like you put it on your banner, you know?
Yeah.
Chant and be happy. That's the motto.
Objective, yeah.
Yes. Next. How to practice ABS. After every engagement, ask, what worked well? In what areas are there room for improvement? So, be introspective. Be a little sensitive. When you deal with the people, at least at the end of the day, every day, before you close your eyes, just reflect. Let the day go by and reflect. What went well today, and where was there room for improvement? What mistakes did I make? How can I make sure I'm not making the same mistakes again? If you're able and to catch yourself in the moment, do it after every person. Analyze what worked well, what didn't work well. What do I have to change? So in this way, you don't get into a rut. You don't get into a pattern, you know? Because sometimes it's very difficult to jump out of one's groove. Next. Incremental improvements. List your best practices. Write down what is really working well. List room for improvement areas and make improvements before your next engagement. Yes. Anybody?
Simply.
You already have done so many. Thank you, Prabhu. Well, we have so many here who need to participate. Please, Prabhu.
Simply, it is practice. So as by practice you have increased so-called demands of your body, you can decrease it also.
So it is just by practice. When you see those tennis pros in Wimbledon serving those Ooh. Aces, you know, what do you think? How many balls have they shot till they got?
Thousands, I think.
Thousands? I would more say like hundreds of thousands. Huh?
Practice makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect, yes. It takes practice. It takes practice. Even though actually it's quite simple. But it's not just holding a book and talking a little bit to somebody. Mm. Can you make sure this gets fixed for tomorrow? It's about actually improving your performance. That means we have to be a little analytical. We have to be, you know, introspective and see how did things go. Not just, oh, it's all fine and all good, yes.
But perhaps on the other side, can we become a little bit too self-conscious?
That's possible. So don't get into that. Don't be too hard on yourself, you know. You are who you are. You can't jump out of your skin or over your shadow. You got to work with the tools you've got and got to make it work and try to improve from where you stand. But the tendency usually is not to be too self-conscious, but is to just be too negligent and to just accept who you are and say, hey, you know, this is what you paid for, this is what you get. You know? So, you know, don't expect too much. You know? I mean, you saw how I chanted this morning and prasadam wasn't really great, you know. And so today it's just going to be one of those days, right? I mean, look at the weather and, you know. And then from there on it's going to be downhill race, right? But if you have this mentality, you can actually snap out of it. If you see something went wrong, you just analyze it and you change it. It doesn't have to be that the next 4 hours are going to be like that. It's a momentary decision. Like you make a momentary decision. I don't want to be in Maya. I want to be Krishna conscious. I want to chant Hare Krishna. I want to remember the Lord. It's a momentary decision. Because at one point we just say, I had enough of this. You know, I want things to change. But if you find yourself being too self-conscious, then just relax a little and, you know, just go easy on yourself. You have to be able to live with yourself. So here you see, go back one. These are devotees from ISV, ISKCON Silicon Valley. They have book tables on Saturdays and Sundays in front of Walmarts and of Indian stores where they just put out this display and just talk to all the people who go into the store. They just ask the store owners to get a permission. Because for some devotees, it's not very easy to stop people on the street. Like here, you'll see on Oxford Street, it's quite an intensity, it's quite a pace. To stop people and to impress them is not that easy. So, especially in the beginning, initially, it is much easier if you're at a book table or at a bhajan, you know, you have bhajan or kirtan, you know, a standing or sitting arrangement, so people come up to you. That's a very easy way how to approach people and show them the books. Don't think if I can't do Oxford Street, I can't be a book distributor. I know hundreds of devotees who can't distribute on Oxford Street, but they're great book distributors. There's different strategies, different techniques, different styles and environments. So don't think it's just this one thing and that's what's possible. If the principle is clear, we want to give mercy, we want to give Prabhupada's books to people, then the where, when, how, that time, place, and circumstance. The sky is the limit. There is millions of ways how you can distribute the books. We could go on for days and weeks speaking about all the different ways. Mm-hmm. Right now we're speaking about the principle. You know the difference between a principle and a detail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Principle is something fundamental, something foundational, something like an axiomatic truth, like something which is... What's the right word? What's the definition of a principle? Who's...
Universal.
Universal, yes.
The essence.
The essence, yes. Set. Always applicable.
Set in stone.
Set in stone.
It's the primary aim.
The primary aim. Okay. And a detail is something which will change in every circumstance and in every situation. So, the strategy, the techniques, these are details. But depending on who you are and where you're at, different styles of book distribution might be more or less appealing to you.
You have to be versatile, don't you?
Yeah, you have to be honest and say, look, this is what I can do and this is what I can't do. Initially, something might be very difficult. Later on, it might be easier. You know, as your experience grows, like in the beginning, you start driving, you know, you're comfortable just going around the block.
Mm-hmm.
You're not comfortable going on the highway or doing parallel parking, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after some time, is no problem whatsoever.
Mm.
But it takes some experience.
Yes.
Next.
Shishigarni
Tai Ki. Are there any questions?
Yeah.
All you ambassadors of goodwill.
I was going to ask one. You know, sometimes you get people and they just don't believe in anything. They're just atheists. But I've got a technique that... Sometimes you can use what Prabhupada actually
said. Is that a question or is that a...
It is a question because I want to know, maybe you can tell me within the principle what is the best way to go about them if you just...
Okay, if
I
you
don't
have atheists
you, don't know
who say, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in religion.
Yeah.
What I usually do is one of the following three. Number one, I ask them, what do you mean by religion? Somebody asks you a question... You rephrase it and ask it back to them. You put the ball back into their court. You let them do the talking.
Yeah.
Huh? And then usually they'll say something like all this organized religion or all these fanatics or all this and that. And then usually I agree with them. And I say, you and me, we're in the same boat, you know? It's us against them, right? It's us against the rest of the world. That's a very powerful thing.
Yeah, empathy. Yeah.
Empathy, exactly. You say... I know how you feel. I felt the same way. Huh? You know that chain of logic.
Connection.
And then you tell them, I also don't believe in that type of religion. But, you know, there is... Do you believe in some higher truth or in some higher energy, some higher power? Oh yeah, sure, no problem. I just got a problem with, you know, the way how they're dealing with people or this or that or the other thing. Then if they're hardcore atheists... I tell them, well, you know, you got to check out the competition. You got to know what you're up against, right? If you want to know the enemy, you got to know, you know, what the enemy's at. So you got to check it out, right?
Mm.
And a lot of times, you just make friends with them on a very personal level. You just, you know, see whether there is some sweetness, whether there is some connection. And then you just, I just distribute the book on a level of friendliness. Sometimes the person is just not that much into what you got to tell them. But they're like you. They say, you know, I'm not really that interested in your book, but you're a likable person, you're a nice person. So, yeah, I'll give you a donation. Yeah, I'll take this. But it's for you, you know? It's not because of the book. That's okay, fine with me. I don't have a problem with that. Distribute the books in the best possible way.
Yeah.
So sometimes... People are very philosophical. Sometimes they're exactly the opposite. You have to be ready to deal with both and not be upset because one person, you know, has never heard of, you know, Thoreau and Emerson and Gandhi, you know.
Yeah.
They have different stars and different, you know, people who they emulate.
I see what you mean. It's like the reflexes.
Please.
Really good.
I got to carry on here. Thank you. Yes.
You mentioned about
yes.
But I was wondering, how do you genuinely develop that compassion?
then you develop that compassion. How does that come about? I was recently speaking to Vijay Prabhu when he was here, and he just laughed at it.
You develop that compassion by studying the life of Srila Prabhupada and by seeing his example and his magnanimity and his unlimited compassion. And by seeing how compassionate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, how compassionate your guru is, and then you start to feel that compassion on a very practical level. Compassion is not just a philosophical principle. It's not just an idea, a theory, a concept. It's something very tangible, very practical. And it's realistic. It's not, oh yeah, I feel compassion to you. But then the person asks you to do something, you know, you couldn't care less. It's something practical. Sometimes we equate, you know, these concepts with just something very purely ideological. No. Compassion is something very practical. It also means sometimes, you know, you have to be a little lenient. Person might not have the correct amount of money, you give them the book. Person might need somebody who listens a little bit to them, you know, because they're in distress. Like this devotee who you saw distributing there, Satyadev. He was a paramedic in San Francisco working for the fire department. On the ambulances, 911 calls. He says 2/3 of the calls are people who are lonely and they need somebody to talk to. So they go there, they sit down, have a cup of tea, and they talk for an hour, and then the person feels enough energy and enthusiasm to go on living for another week because they're so lonely. So that means compassion. You could say, hey, I'm a paramedic. This is not my portfolio. This is not my job. I'm not a shrink, you know? Go get a dog, get a life. No. Sometimes you gotta help a person, you know, put their groceries in their car, help them figure out something like that, you know, give them directions. Just practical stuff. Goes a long way. Other questions?
When we show empathy, most of the people are distressed and they get into their personal problems, and that can go on for a long time,
that's not the environment. You're out there on the street and you know so many things are happening, so you tell them, look, here is my card, I can obviously see you're a very deep and very interested person. I would love to talk to you at length about this topic. Right now I'm out here doing this volunteer work. So, trying to spread this good message to everybody. So, you please come and see me on Sunday. Here's my card, my name, my email. And you please come to the temple. And then we sit down and talk. Because this is like right now on the street, you know, between cars and traffic. And it's not exactly the environment to go deep into issues. Like that, and people will accept that. So, I don't get into the big story. But, you just, you know, you see somebody like somebody got a cast or somebody got a plaster on. You ask them, what happened? You know? And then you don't just look at the birds and at the cars when they're telling you, but you're actually listening to them and you're acknowledging, you know, their pain and their problem. People want to be acknowledged. They want to feel that, yes, you have acknowledged me. I am there. And I understand your problem. That means empathy. That's what they want. Not that you get into all the details, how it exactly happened, and what type of medication are you taking, how long is it going to take. Same thing, like I ask you your job, you tell me you're working in IT. Then I ask you, are you a boss, are you employed, is it going well, your company still works, do they still pay you, you know, they didn't go bankrupt yet, like that. But I'm not asking you, so what are you working on, Linux or Windows or Mac, or, you know, which notebook should I buy, and, you know, what's the best website to check out, you know, the weather and sports. Not stuff like that, but things which are, you know, relevant. You have to learn how to make relevant conversation. That means empathy. Not too deep, not too shallow, just nice. Because if it goes too deep, some people go, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, private property here, step off my porch. And if you're too shallow, they'll just brush you off. Oh yeah, you're a nice boy, you're a nice kid, have a good one, and they walk off. So you've got to go deep enough, but not too deep. It's an art. It's a secret. That's why, like you're a heart surgeon, you know, when you're doing your job, you have to exactly know how much to push, how far you can go. Yes?
I wanted to ask, sometimes when I'm on Sankirtan, I feel really enthusiastic about doing these things, and sometimes I don't. So how to make it more consistent?
How to be consistently enthusiastic? That's the question. Yes?
With these principles in particular.
Yeah. So, why do you get unenthusiastic? At one point you are enthusiastic. Usually when you start, you're enthusiastic, or the enthusiasm comes later on. What's your
experience? I'm just thinking in terms of before I go, sometimes I don't even really feel like going. Sometimes I'm very enthusiastic.
It's like sometimes I drag myself to the temple room. I'm not enthusiastic for dancing, you know. While I'm there, I'm seeing the Lord, you know, and I'm seeing like, wow, you know, Krishna looks great. And then all of a sudden, you know, the music, the kirtan starts, you know, and you feel like, yeah, you know, this is nice, you know. But you still don't feel like dancing, right? You just like your good old grumpy self, you know, and you think like, I'm cool, you're cool, everybody's cool, I don't need to dance here. But then you just start dancing, even if it's a little artificial, even if it's a little, you know, it's a little dramatic. It's a little, you can say, not to your level of realization. But then you get into the mood. All of a sudden, after the second or the fifth second, you're right into it. Has it ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Same with book distribution. Sometimes you go out, it's a little stuck, you know. Conversations don't happen that fluently. Sometimes you just have to forget about the book and just start to talk with the person for a little bit. Just make some conversation. And then all of a sudden you can introduce the book very, you know, in a very relaxed way. But otherwise, if you come and you want to just push the book right in the beginning, right in the front, it doesn't work. So don't be attached to your preconceived notion of what preaching or book distribution means. Prabhupada was here in England, and there was one gentleman, older chap, I think he was a race car driver or something. I think he came to the manor to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada talked to him for half an hour about race cars. Just about race cars. And the guy was ecstatic. You know? He thought, we're the greatest people on earth, you know? This man understands what it's all about. Like I talked to Kripa Moikrabhu this morning at the manor, and you know, like in America, you can say, oh, nice shoes, or nice shirt, and people will feel, oh, thank you, you know? And you can talk, oh, where you got those shoes, and all that. You can talk, you make conversation like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, they'll think, you know, what do you want? You know, what's your problem? Get lost. But you can talk about their dog, and they like that in England, right?
Yeah.
Or about their car. So you got to find out what's socially acceptable to make conversation and to connect with them. So sometimes you have to come in from a tangent. Sometimes you can't just boom. You have to go, you know, give them a little time and space. We'll deal with that when we do the presentations. Now it's 8 o'clock, and I know you're all very busy people. I'm happy to do a few more questions, but if you do have to go somewhere, you do need to be someplace, please feel free to leave. It's not that, you know, I'm forcing you to stay. We'll just go through the questions if there's some more questions. Otherwise, if you feel like you need to go, you're free to go. Any other questions? Yes?
From just some of this preview, if you could say about this desire, you were saying that desire has to be handled in the right way. You were saying this
story,
Hari Namananda Prabhu, your friend. Could you tell like a little bit preview what you meant? The desire has to be very properly.
It means you have to know how to deal with the energy. When you go on Sankirtan, you'll be faced with a whole lot of energy. All of a sudden, you feel like an entire powerhouse is coming down on you, you know? And you become the recipient, you become the instrument of that power and of that potency. Don't misuse that potency. Hare Krishna. Don't just, you know, utilize it for your own self-aggrandizement or for your own personal gratification. Don't think, oh, I'm the star, everybody is just enamored by what I do, and I can manipulate people. I can, you know, make it happen. I can move the energy the way I want. Krishna can take the gift away in a second. Boom. And it's just gone. And you can't even say hello to people. Has it ever happened to you?
Yeah.
You walk up to somebody, you open your mouth, and nothing comes out. You know, it's just hot air, you know? Like sand pouring out of your mouth. Or you just say something stupid, like stones falling out. You know, you wanted to say something super smart, super intelligent, you know, like really, really paka, really perfect. And you just say something completely stupid, and everybody looks like, where is this idiot coming from? And they walk away, you know. So, you have to learn how to respect Krishna Shakti Vinanahetara Pravartan. This is Krishna's Shakti. This is his energy. We have to be respectful. Don't misuse this energy, this gift. Otherwise you'll use it. You'll lose it. Huh? Never take it lightly. It's a great gift. To be able to do good to others, to be able to have people's faith, to have their confidence, to have their gratitude. It's a great gift. Don't play with it.
It's a big responsibility as
yeah.
well, though, isn't it?
Exactly.
But when you're quite a neophyte, then that's quite a lot to take on as well.
Yeah, so, you know, so you have to learn how to deal with it. But at the same time, you know, even if you're going to go out there and you work for Vodafone, they don't just put a t-shirt on you. Maybe if you go out on the street and you walk around with a, you know, with a poster, then not that much training required, right? But if you're going to do sales or you're going to do customer care, you've got to know how to represent the company in a proper way so that people get a positive, you know, idea. You can't just be out there doing, you know, Monty Python and you working for a company. You know? You won't be working for that company for long. Because all calls, you know, will be recorded and monitored for quality training purposes. Right? And that doesn't just mean, you know, improve the quality of how to deal with the customers. It also means improve the quality of the staff. So, and it's a fact. Some people should not be distributing books because they're not fit for public consumption. And sometimes, some days, I'm not fit for public consumption. So I don't go out to distribute because I'm just not feeling right. Like if you're sick or you're very, very, you know, in a bad shape or something bad happened, and you just can't be. You've got to be the best you can be. That doesn't mean if I haven't chanted my 64 rounds and I haven't read,
64.
You know, 12 hours of Bhagavatam, I can't go out and distribute. You know what I mean? Some days I just roll out of bed and distribute a book. It happens. But because I'm a professional. I know how to be the best I can be. Or, Hare Krishna, see you tomorrow. At least I'm trying. I'm sincerely trying. And I'm not a threat to these people, and I'm not a threat to myself. That's basically what it means. So we're trying to make sure you get, you know, what you need so you can feel comfortable, you can feel confident, and Hare Krishna, and you feel inspired to give people Prabhupada's books. So it's not, you know, we put the bar pretty low, especially initially. You just come out, you see, and you try a little, and it's great fun. And then as time goes on, you know, the bar gets moved a little bit. But
because it's like, you've got to be friendly in order to make the magic happen. So you become friendly, then they become interested in you, and it's like, oh, what else
yes.
can you do? And you said, the truth always works, so be honest, tell them what you do. I do this outside, but in my spare time, I volunteer.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, you're into that? My friend does that?
Yeah.
And then I can offer you... And
that's it. And you're right there.
Yeah. Seeing the personal interest
yeah.
for yourself.
And you connect the book to that interest, and it's a done deal. Any other questions? Okay. Yes, last question. And then we're going to see one of Prabhupada's videos.
Sure.
You mentioned about how, you know, for whatever reason, there's certain people that aren't fit to do book distribution. If they contribute to book distribution through other ways, like, say, contributing money towards the
Oh, that's perfect.
Will they get the same, is the
of
same
course.
Benefit as that?
Yes,
distributing
definitely. Definitely. But, you know, what I mean by that is not, oh, you know, I'm not very much of a people's person, therefore I'm not fit to be out there amongst the people.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is more like some people just don't have the personality to deal with people. It's just, you know, some get maniac, depressive, or, you know, they're bipolar, or they got issues, serious issues, and they can't deal with people. So then you shouldn't force them. Everybody has to go out and distribute books. And, you know, like some people get suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want that. So you can sponsor books, you can cook for the Sankirtan devotees, you can, you know, do so many things. But you can also have a few books, you can also give out some free books. Just learn what, you know, what works. But you look like you can distribute some books, so it's not... It's not. Don't take that as an easy way out. You know, I'm just saying that because sometimes people make this point. Everybody has to distribute books. Not like that. All right. Thank you for your attention and your participation. I hope to see you tomorrow. I'll be giving Bhagavatam class and then the seminar in the evening, and we'll also go out a little bit during the day if those people are up for it. And the last word is from Srila Prabhupada. We're going to see...
on the track set.
How can you... 24 hours. 24 hours, number 3. Prabhupada ki
jai.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna.
Just a quick thing before everybody.
Is the internet working?
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to announce about Navinara Prabhu's schedule. As you mentioned, he's giving the morning class from tomorrow. He'll be giving the morning class on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The seminar is going to be at the same time tomorrow, 6 to 8. And on Saturday, after the morning class, we are going to Stratford. So whoever's interested, we're going to be leaving from the temple here after breakfast. That's around 9 o'clock. So if you want to join, we can all go together and we can be on the street. And on Sunday, he's giving the morning class, Chaitanya Chaitanya class. Then seminar from 11 to 2, and we'll try to go out all together for an hour or so, or whatever time. And then he's given the Sunday peace class. So please, if you can come.
And tomorrow, what time is this? Probably
6 to 8.
But tomorrow, what time is the visa peace? We are going out tomorrow.
Yeah, after breakfast.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow as well, after breakfast. Yeah.
Which place?
Just on the street. Just for a few hours.
I didn't have to use it. It's not mine, so I'm not going to use it. Is the internet working now?
Oh, yeah, just a great thing. We have some volunteers to help us.
Please.
I just need a copy.
Yeah.
You need to change the chairs. You have to leave them.
Hare Krishna, can somebody help me?